This is your boy Jeff. Welcome to the very first segment of Jeff and a Drink. So tonight, you know, I decided to do this because I feel like there are a lot of topics I want to discuss, and I think the radio is pretty fun. And you know, I wanted to get on here and give you guys some history behind my track, my new single Mistress. And also, you know, just reveal a little something more personal about myself and my personal life and things I've been through and things y'all might be going through. And I just wanted to vibe with y'all. So I'm going to see how this pans out, you know, try to make this like a weekly segment, maybe like a twice a week segment, where I just, you know, discuss different things that have gone on in my life and that are going on in my life. Talk to y'all about, you know, everything from sex to love to, you know, relationships with people, friendships, drugs, all types of stuff. So I'm going to kick in this segment. This segment is about the mistresses in the world or of the world, or the fact that you may not even realize that you are a mistress, or you're in a situation where you feel like you are a mistress or have been a mistress. And I'm just going to, like I said, tell some history on the track and how I came up with it, and how it came about and all that good stuff. So you guys go ahead and enjoy, tune in, sit back, get your drink, listen with me, you know, vibe with me. Tonight, my drink is going to be some strawberry Moscato. And I got some pineapple rum, Captain Morgan to go along with that. And I'm going to pour me this glass and then we'll get into our discussion. Welcome back, y'all. So this is part one. I guess I'll start my story out with the very first time I was ever in a situation where I felt like I was somebody else's mistress in a situation. And it wasn't the fact that I was actually a mistress, but sometimes when you're dealing with a dude, you know, the situation may not always be clear. And because of other people involved in his life, or whoever he may be dating, or whatever else the nature of the situation is, you can find yourself being a mistress without even knowing it, without even realizing it. I would say I was about, 16, 17, when I met this dude, who will go unnamed. I'm not going to be dropping no names in the show and being messy and this and that and that and this. But I met this dude around that time that I was super duper duper infatuated with. Like, I don't know what it was about him. Like, my friends would be like, why the fuck are you like all into this dude? Like, he's a total fucking cornball. And I was just like so enamored by him. And I think what it was about him was, it was the adventure that he had in his heart. I think it was just the fact that he was so spontaneous, and I felt like so brave, and it really ignited something in me, because I just wasn't that guy. Like, I was real when I was younger, yo. Like, I was real, like, I don't want to say like cornball, but I was really like, you know, shy and prudish, and, you know, kind of like, you know, I don't do that, and that's just not me, that's not how I roll, you know. Yeah, but I kick it with folks, you know, who may roll like that and do whatever, but I just, you know, I don't get into that. You know, I was the, what do they call it, the voice of reasoning, you know, amongst most of my friends. So when I met him, it was like, it took me aback, and I just remember, like, one night I had just got kicked out of my parents' house, over different family reasons and things that were going on, and I had moved in to a house full of what you would call houseboys. And houseboys are generally, in the gay community, a group group of young men who live together. And so I have to record these in like 3-minute segments, so it'll be some breaks in between. I don't know if you're going to be able to tell when I actually weave it together, but anyway, so as I was saying, houseboys are usually a group of young men. In some situations, a houseboy, his duties would be, it's usually a younger gay man who moves in with an older gay man and does like his housework, you know, fucks him, whatever the situation may be, whatever their deal is, to basically stay there for free. And, you know, this older man would be sort of like a sugar daddy like figure who, you know, buys some stuff and whatever else it is. In this situation, you know, I was 16, 17. I didn't have anywhere to go. I moved into this house with them, but my duties were basically cleaning up the house, and just making sure that everything was copacetic. And I had a lot of friends who were really attractive and whatever else it is or whatever. So, we'd be able to like throw parties, and I was pretty popular in the community at that time. So I would invite a lot of people over, and we'd throw parties in the middle of the week and, you know, chill, drink, you know, swim, you know, 'cause we had a nice swimming pool and it was a big old like 6-bedroom house. So people would be able to come over and crash and, you know, do things you basically wouldn't do at your mama and daddy's house. So, during this time, one of my roommates brought this young man home one night. He was a younger man as well. And when the boy walked through the door, something about him just caught my eye, like, instantly. He had, like, this shock of blue hair, which was completely ridiculous, but it looked so cute on him at the time. And I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what it was. It's just his face lit up. He had this big old smile and these goofy ass braces and acne on his skin and stuff or whatever. But he was, you know, still adorable and a cutie to me. So I was like, you know, who was that? So, you know, they came home, went straight back to the room or whatever, and I was like, oh, okay, so, you know, they about to get in, whatever they about to get in. And I didn't really pay much attention to it. I went back to my friends, and, you know, we enjoyed the rest of our evening. So, cut to about a week or two later, we all used to go to this youth center. And he used to hang out with this girl who's still the homegirl to this day. I'm not gonna mention your name, but shout out, you know who you are. And so they came out to the youth center where we hang out, and that was like a mutual spot for everybody. So, you know, everybody. So, you know, everybody kicked it. So it was like, you know, it's a space where, you know, you come and get yourself together from the day, you know, if you weren't out to your parents or whoever else it was, you know what I'm saying? You were just able to hang out in this space and, you know, be who you are and enjoy yourself and, you know, watch TVs and get play games and whatever else the this and that is. So he used to drive this old beat up ass, I guess it wasn't really beat up, but this old ass white Ford Taurus. Jesus, the memories we have with that car. Y'all see me while I'm sipping my, you know, sipping my little drink, because obviously this is just a drink. But anyway, so he used to drive this old white Ford Taurus. And for some reason or another, I don't know if we just, me and my friends, we all decided to all ride together to this coffee shop we used to hang out with in Hillcrest. And I ended up riding with him. And we ended up just vibing and clicking. And so over the course of the next, like, few months, like, I really fell in love with this dude, like, madly. Like, big time crush. Like, I tell y'all, like, Dawson's Creek was still out of the time, and he was like my Dawson. Like, I was like Joey crawling through the window. Like, we really clicked, like, on a friendship level, real, real deep. First Aries, like, friendship that I had in my life. And so, you know, it just became like this thing where we hung out because we lived in the same neighborhood. And he lived right across the street from the middle school that I had used to go to. So we would kick it like every day. My grandparents stayed up the street, so he would like come sweep me up, you know, drop me back off at home. I would like, you know, spend nights at his house, and we would like go to, you know, different dances and stuff together, and, you know, hang out. Nothing ever happening, like no kisses exchanged, nothing crazy like that. Cut to like a year later, I think maybe like a year and a half later, like all my friends knew that I was really digging this dude, and it was just obvious. Like I was just doe-eyed, like I said, I just don't, you know, it's something sometimes about a guy. It's not even about necessarily the way he looks. Sometimes it's just who he is. Like, I would go with this dude and, like, wait at his job. Like, we would go together to his job because I didn't have shit else really going on at the time. Like, it would be, like, on my days off from work or, you know, when I wasn't doing anything. I would go with him and wait with him at his job till he got off, you know, and just, you know, hang and chill and, you know, sit around, listen to the radio, whatever else it was. And sometimes that's just the things you do, especially when you're young and you're crazy and you feel like you're in love. And it eventually got to the point to where we went through this Taco Bell drive-thru one night. And this boy had asked him for his number or was flirting with him. And it was me and some of my friends in the car, some of our friends in the car. And I was livid, y'all. When I tell y'all I was so hot, I was like through the roof hot. And so the boy was flirting with him, and I was like, well, fuck it, give me your number then, because you know I can be real vindictive and real ridiculous when I'm upset. So I was like, well, fuck it, give me your number then. You know, I'll give it to him. So I started writing it down, wrote down the number, and gave it to the boy through the window, and I was like, fuck, talk to him. So the whole way back, the whole car ride was just tense. It was just, like, super intense. And we ended up getting back to this guy's house that I know, named David. I mentioned David's name because David ain't really got too much to do with the situation other than we were at his house. So, we got to David's house, and we were all sitting around, you know, eating or whatever. I didn't want to eat because I had an attitude. I hadn't ordered anything. I, you know, went to David's bedroom and was laying there or whatever, and the rest of them were all in the living room. So, he came back in the room, and he was like, you know, like, basically, like, what the fuck is your problem, yo? Like, I'm not understanding. So, I was real hesitant to tell him, and I was like, I really, you know, I was like, I'm mad, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to, you know, see you right now, whatever else it is. And he was just pretty insistent, so finally, I was just like, fuck it. If you don't tell him how you feel, you ain't gonna never say it. So, I was just like, you know, my friend finally came back, and he was like, we were going back and forth, and he locked us in the room. And I said, so I really gotta say this shit now. So, I was like, I love you. I was like, you know, I've just really been feeling you for a long time, and this is how I really feel, and whatever else it is. And got friend zoned. That first sting of love's heartbreak. Oh my goodness. It was just a mess. He was crying. I was livid. You know, I didn't know what to do with myself. And I was just like, why are you acting like you don't have feelings for me? And I was like, you know, basically, like, we do everything together. Like, you know, it's just like, basically, like, you're my man. You know, we just don't have no official title. But the way we running around, it's like, you with me, you know? But he wasn't feeling it. So, you know, he was like, but I really love you as a friend. He was like, I really want to be your friend. And I was like, I don't want to be your friend. You know, I was like, I want to be more than that. So cut to, he ends up going like outside to the garage, and, you know, hanging out or whatever. And I mean, not to the garage, but to the laundry room. So it's like this whole big old dramatic thing. Cut to a couple of weeks later, we were cool. I still could not get over and get through what was going on with us, because things pretty much went back to normal. And it was like my heart was just so conflicted, because I wanted to be happy for him and his growth, but I still felt the way that I felt. And I just couldn't separate it. And so I would, like, one year for Christmas, like, I didn't have no money, y'all. And I knew this boy was getting around with a lot of my friends, and I still didn't care. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, I just, you know how you just be like them girls that be on Maury that be like, but I love him, but I love him. And you be so silly. But he was like getting around major, you know, with a lot of my friends, messing around with a lot of folks that I knew, and so stuff was just getting real messy. But I still loved him. So one day we were in my friend's shop, and he saw this necklace that he really, really liked. And I was like, oh, you like that one? He was like, yeah. I was like, okay, bet, you know. So I didn't tell him, but I already had it in my head. Like, I'm going to go get that for him, you know. I love him. Maybe this, you know, maybe this gift. And maybe if I, you know, really try again and try to be more brave this time, maybe things will pan out a little bit different. And this is the stuff that you go through when you go through, you know, the cycle of loss. I tell you, like, you know, anger, despair, you know, denial, yada, 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 yada. So, y'all, I didn't have no money, like, none. Like, and I think I was at that point, like, either in between checks or in between jobs or in school or something at that point, and I was just broke. So I got up and I went to the plasma center and I donated plasma to get this dude this necklace. Went to my friend's shop, picked the necklace up, wrote him this long ass 4-page letter, had my friend box it up really nice, you know, and put the gift together. And I gave it to him. I went up to the place where I knew he was, and he was with some friends of mine. I pulled him aside. I gave him the gift. He loved it. So, like, cut to like 2 weeks later, I go over his house, and I had already knew he, I had just heard before I went over there that he had messed around with this boy that I really did not like. Oh my God, I did not like that boy. And I go in his bathroom to go use the bathroom. And I turn around to wash my hands and look down at the sink, and the necklace is broken on the sink. And I was like, what the fuck? So, my crazy ass, yo, I slipped out, yo. I was like, what the fuck? Who the fuck did this? Who the fuck did you let my break my chain? I know it was one of these bitches that you dealing with, you know. Fuck you and these bitches. And not to mention, like, during the time with this dude, we had like a really volatile relationship sometimes, like just in our friendship, like we would get into it. This just, it was just such a complicated situation. Like, we would get into it about the craziest shit, yo. Like, we were a couple. Like, one time this nigga threw a hammer at my head. Promise you, like, we were fighting in the room like cats and dogs, and he picked up a hammer and like threw it at me full force. Luckily I dodged that motherfucker and it hit the closet. But I tell you, like, we had a crazy relationship. It was like, that's why my heart was so conflicted and confused, because I felt like I was being used as like a temporary marker in this man's life, in this young boy's life. I felt like, you want to do everything with me, like, you know, like you're my boyfriend, but you don't want to actually be my fucking boyfriend, but you want to treat me like I'm your fucking boyfriend, thus becoming a mistress. So I'm a mistress to all these bitches that you fucking, so you want to give them the serious stuff and then come and play me with the other shit. So I was like, dead that, yo, you know, like, fuck that, like, I'm not going out like that. So, like I said, I went off on him about the necklace, and I was like, I know you let, he finally fessed up, and I was like, you sat there, and you let this bitch break this necklace that I just went out and got for you. I didn't tell him how I got it or what I went through to get it, but I'm like, you sat here and let this bitch break something that meant so much to me, and that was supposed to mean a lot to you, after I went through all this to get this and do this, and you fucked me over like that. So I didn't fuck with him for a minute. It went on like this for a long time. Like, we just kept, because we had mutual friends, so it's not like we couldn't, like, we had the option to not hang out together. And I just kept, we just kept arguing. We would stop talking, start talking again, stop talking, start talking again, stop talking, start talking again. And it got to the point to where I like wished him out of my life. And I found out that he had got accepted to this school in Europe, and I was like, maybe I can finally get some peace, you know, in my heart. Maybe I can finally settle, you know, this in my heart and what I'm feeling and all this anger and all this emotion, and maybe he can finally move on, maybe I can finally move on. In between there, he had dated this guy who's pretty popular now, who, you know, was pretty big in the gay community and does some pretty big stuff. We were always pretty cool. We never really had no beef. He knew that I felt about the boy, but he never made me feel any type of way. And in fact, anytime that he felt like he was encouraging any type of emotion in me, he would cut the shit and be like, you need to, you know, check yourself, like talk to him and be like, talk to his boyfriend or whatever, and be like, you know, you need to check it yourself or whatever, like with how you dealing with him. So, it was like, that ended, their relationship ended. I think it kind of ended on a sour note. I'm not exactly certain of what happened. I don't really remember. But they ended up breaking it off, or he ended up breaking it off with the guy that I was crushing on or digging on. And, the guy I was digging on ended up going across seas. So he left. And that was pretty much before that. I had already cut it off, and I wasn't really dealing with him, but he came through to one of my last performances that I had. I was performing for Pride, and he came through and watched it, whatever, and I was just like, you know, good luck. I know we're not going to speak again or whatever. And he was like, no, we'll speak again. Don't say that. And I was like, I really don't think so. Like, I just think that you need to move on with your life. I'm move on with my life. And that's pretty much where we at. So he ended up leaving. We didn't talk for a really long time. I didn't see him like until like later in my adult years. I think I was like 27, maybe 27 before I saw him again. Maybe a little bit younger than that when I saw him again. And it was just kind of like the same thing. Like, I saw him, and I think part of me was still kind of sore. Like, I had had boyfriends since then and whatever else it was. But I think both of us were still kind of like a little bit salty about the situation. And he was like, you know, we'll hang out and stuff next time I see you. And I was like, no, we won't. At that point, it was just like a more of a dead response from me. I guess I had been through enough with these other dudes and seen enough to where, you know, you grow apart from a person enough, or you not around a person enough, the emotion just kind of dies. So I was like, nah, I'm good. So that's the way it was for a really long time. And I think I finally added him back to Facebook like a year or two ago. And we haven't really had any conversations. I called him once overseas and, you know, spoke with him for a while on the phone. But other than that, that was pretty much it. And that was really the first time I ever really can think of that I really felt like somebody else's mistress in a situation, because like I said, I was providing all this emotion, you know, for this person who I saw had a really heavy heart, and I had a really heavy heart. And not to say I didn't get anything back from that situation, because I actually gained a lot from that situation, and I actually thank him a lot, because a lot of what we went through kind of set the tone for me moving forward in my life. With guys and love and relationships and things of that nature. So, shout out to you. You know who you are. Yes, I have some songs written about you from my younger years, because every musician has songs written about everybody in their life. And eventually they may be released and you may hear them one day. And I think that you'll like them. So quick shout out to you. Like I said, you know who you are. And I'm glad we had our friendship and what we had. And it was cool and all that good stuff or whatever. And I'm glad that we're able to be cordial enough now to, you know, at least be Facebook friends. And, you know, maybe one day if I'm coming through and touring or whatever, me, you, and your husband, and me and my husband can kick it and, you know, chill or whatever and have conversations and maybe have some dinner. So, yeah, y'all. So that was the very first time. So we'll get into some more stories. We're going to take a little bit of break. I'm going to switch the music over, you know, sip a little bit more of my drink, and we're going to get back into it. Y'all, so we're gonna take a really quick music break. I'm gonna give y'all some of this Usher real quick, and then we're gonna get right back into it and continue our show this evening. I'm planning on a show running about an hour, maybe an hour and 20 minutes. So sit back, enjoy. If you smoke, roll a blunt, light a blunt, light your bowl, whatever else it is, light your candles. Refresh your drink. As y'all know, like I said, I'm drinking my little strawberry Moscato crossed with some Captain Morgan's pineapple rum. So it's pretty delicioso. And I'm enjoying it very much. So refresh your drinks. Take a musical break with me. Let me get these windpipes settled. And I'll be right back with y'all. Once again, I'm your host, Jeff Is He. That's Jeff Is He. And these podcasts, like I said, are just something for you guys to be able to get to know a little bit more about me as an artist and me as a person. So I'm hoping that you guys are enjoying. Continue to tune in, and I'll be right back with you. Alright y'all, welcome back to Jeff and a Drink. Tonight's drink is Strawberry Moscato. Andre's, by the way, because I didn't mention that at first. It's Andre's. And that is definitely on the affordable price scale. I just mixed a little bit of Andre's Strawberry Moscato with some Captain Morgan's Pineapple Rum. And it makes for a very delicious drink, very satisfying. And it definitely has a kick to it. Which I love. So thank you guys for tuning back in. Once again, this week's topic is mistresses, based off of my new single, Mistress, that just hit all available online retailers. I also just released a video last week. We are currently at about 1,200 views plus. And I also submitted it to World Star Hip Hop. And there will be a single release party on March 25th, which I will get you guys more info on as we go on throughout the shows, throughout the next couple of weeks. So, like I said, in speaking on this topic of mistresses, I have had several different, you know, situations in my life where I've definitely felt like a mistress, and some situations where I've flat out been a mistress. There's just no other way to put it. And it's just, playing a side chick role, mistress, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's just one of those things where the situation has the potential to become very messy. And these situations were definitely things that happened when I was much younger in my life. And I just didn't have a good understanding of what a healthy relationship should entail. I have the understanding, but it's about the application. Sometimes you have the knowledge, but knowledge is nothing without wisdom. So definitely getting much wiser in my older years, I have been able to worked through a lot of that stuff. So cut to our next story. This one's very short, so I'm going to run through a succession of a couple different stories. These are pretty short stories that I'm going to tell them. There were some pretty long episodes, but I'm going to kind of sum them up because I want to make sure I don't hold you guys here like prisoners. So cut to another gentleman that I met when I was in my younger years, but didn't tell me that he actually had feelings for me until I was about, say, 17. So at the same time, I was dealing with all this mess with the other guy. There was this other dude who had been kind of around the edges of my life. I wasn't really messing with him. He would kind of flirt with me, but I would always fend him off because of the fact that I knew flat out he had a boyfriend. Like, I was like, nah, I'm not fucking with you. You got a boyfriend. And, you know, even though you may flirt and, you know, I laugh and hee hee ha ha, whatever else it is, I'm not fucking with you because you got a boyfriend. And until that's resolved, we don't have shit to speak about. So this situation, I guess, really wasn't a mistress situation. It was just one of those situations where the guy was, it's like I talked about in my article, in the article that was done on me. There were some guys that were still so hung up on their exes that the situation felt like, it was a situation where it felt like I was a mistress, you know. So I was at my 17th birthday party. And the guy came up to me and he was talking and he was like, damn, I really missed out, huh? And I was like, you know, what you talking about? What you mean? And he was like, nothing. And I was like, no, tell me, you know, what's up? What's going on? What's on your mind? And he was like, well, you know, I've been really feeling you. You know, he was like, I just, you know, I didn't say nothing because it's such and such. And he was with his dude at the time. And I was like, okay, you know, I get that and all that or whatever. I was like, you know, y'all are broken up now or whatever. So, you know, I understand, you know, you coming to tell me now. So he took my hand. We went back to the back room or whatever and chopped it up some more. And we ended up kissing and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, my heart just melted. I was like, like, I've been wanting to kiss you for so long with your fine ass. I was like, but I was not going to fuck with you as long as you were with my friend and you were with my friend or you, you know, and I just wasn't about to go there with you. So we went out on the dance floor and we were dancing and stuff or whatever. And I looked at him and something just told me, something was like, this dude ain't really here. I was like, something in his eyes was just still broken. I was like, and he was like, I was like, you know, I asked him, like, you know how you ask a dude sometimes, like, test questions to see what's really going on in his mind. I knew he was going to San Francisco, and I was like, tell me, I was like, are you really gonna call me when you get where you're going? Are we really gonna, like, try to make this work and talk about it? And he was like, let's go on, let's go talk. So I went in the back room or whatever, and he was like crying, and, you know, I was holding him and stuff or whatever, and he was just like, I'm so broken, and I don't know what this guy has over me, and I just, you know, he was like, I really like you, but I just, you know, I just can't get over what's going on, and I feel so broken, I don't want to drag you through that. And I was like, I don't care about that. Like, I like you, you know, let's, you know, try to make it work or whatever. So he ended up going to San Francisco. And he was like, nah, you know, whatever. And cut to the next summer. So I hear he's coming back. Or no, I didn't hear he was coming back. So I was like serving a breakfast somewhere for Pride. And I saw him walk through the door and he screamed, I screamed, we hugged each other, whatever. He picked me up and stuff and he's like, hey, you know, I miss you. And I was like, I miss you too. And this nigga introduces me to his boyfriend. And I was like, now you just told me all this shit about you didn't know if you were ready for a relationship and yada, 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 blah, 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 and all this other shit. But yet, you here you are standing here with a motherfucking boyfriend. I was like, okay, so nigga, you playing games. So, I swear, y'all, if y'all would have seen my face, I was like, not ready for a relationship, huh? Guess you're ready for a relationship now. You just weren't ready for a relationship with me. So, you know, and it was actually turned out to be for a good thing because he ended up leaving that dude shortly thereafter for the next guy he went with, and they ended up getting married, and I don't think that ended it too well, and it was a whole situation. They had a pretty popular marriage because at the time, equality was still, like, marriage equality and stuff was still a pretty hot topic, and they were pretty involved in that campaign, and I'll leave it at that. So, that situation pretty much kind of died off itself. I haven't really seen him a lot since then. I've seen him around town, you know, when I'm back at home, like every now and then or whatever, like I'll run into him. And it's always a good time. It's always love. Like, he's a really sweet guy. And, I really just wish him the best. It's always love when I see him. And he will forever be able to get that crack up smile out of me because of the nature that he of his presence and his personality. So that situation was dead. Another situation, there was this guy, and I'll just call him 4x4. Call him 4x4 because this dude was so in love with his motherfucking car. When I tell you, I had never met a dude that was so in love with his car. I swear this man just worshipped the ground that car drove on. And Pisces, you know Pisces, they real slick, real smooth, you know, they pretty boys. And he was just, you know, I thought he was a really cool person. Loved him some motherfucking truth hurts. And for you girls out there who know who I am, you know who I'm speaking about, and he knows who I'm speaking about too. But as I said, I'm not gonna be messy in this episode and mention any names, but I had a real big old crush on that boy for a little bit. It was only for like a few months before it kind of like wore off and wore out. But yeah, that was a crazy situation too, because we kicked it real heavy, me, him, and a friend of mine, because he was a close friend to a friend of mine, and we always ended up like hanging out, kicking it, and rolling around, and we had some really good times, just like rolling through the beaches, driving around in his car, going to parties and stuff or whatever. I don't know if I ever really told him that I was digging him. I think I might have mentioned it like once maybe, but I don't know. But I mentioned these situations to say these are situations where these guys were definitely involved with other people, but I was still, you know, trying to play side bitch. Like, either playing it with somebody or trying to play it with somebody. You know, like I said, you young, you stupid, you think you know what you're doing, you think you in love, and you got these crushes and whatever else it is, and whoopty-whoopty-wham. But that one, I would say, was more like an infatuation, because I don't think we ever really talked about anything, and the other guy, that was more like a brief period of something. The next time, I would say, when something was like really like a serious situation where I played, like where I definitely played, you know, play school husband and, you know, like some mistress shit, like I'm in a relationship with you type of situation, but I'm not in a relationship with you. And we're supposed to just be friends, but the situation is just so foggy that it doesn't seem like it's just a friendship. So I'm going to take a quick break real quick, because I noticed I'm about 12 minutes in, and give you guys a real quick music segment, and then we're going to dive back into this. Yeah. right, y'all. Welcome back after a quick break. So, next step on Jeff and a Drink, we are continuing our session with mistresses. The show is almost an hour long. I think I want to keep it to just an hour. Because as I said before, I don't want to hold you guys hostage. And I'm sure you're enjoying my lovely, lovely voice. I don't want to hold you guys here forever and have y'all just be listening to me rattle on. So I'm going to tell you two quick stories about two past relationships and then give you the wrap-up story. And then we're going to go from there to end the show. So next in our story, we'll talk about when I was 21, and that is my very first official boyfriend, because I didn't really get a chance to date a whole lot. Like I said, it was just always these awkward situations with men, until about 21, when I met my very first boyfriend, and we'll call him Jay, and leave it at that. So I met Jay, or rather he met me. I can't remember exactly how we met. I think that I was on a site, or I was on something, like I think gay.com or some sort of thing like that, and he ended up hitting me up. And he, you know, was a really cool guy. We talked online for a long time. He was really into poetry. I was really into poetry. He was older than me. He was 28. I was 21. And you know, you assume all this shit. I guess in the past, like I used to say, like, I can't believe that he was 28 and I was 21 and he didn't have his shit together or couldn't, you know, figure it out, blah, blah. All this shit that you know, you make these assumptions about till you get to that age and realize nobody has it together. You know what I'm saying? So, he was fresh from Texas. That's where he grew up and was born and raised. He had moved out to California with his sister and her boyfriend who was in the Navy. And, like I said, we ended up meeting online, doing a whole lot of talking, and finally decided to go out to dinner one night. So we had already like exchanged a bunch of poetry, and I sent him songs I liked. He sent me songs he liked. We, you know, did a lot of conversing via email and stuff or whatever else it was. And I took him to one of my favorite Italian restaurants on our very first night out. So we went out, we hit it off. It was real cool. I thought he was a real cool dude. We ended up going to the, like, for a walk or whatever, and hanging out. He had to make it home because I didn't think he needed to get his sister's car back. So he ended up leaving, going back home. And then we decided to meet up for another date. So I think it was like the next day he came and picked me up. We went and hung out at the park and stuff or whatever. And I read him this story that I had written that I still have from a long time ago about all these dudes and stuff I had been through and a whole bunch of bullshit, and like my life story and all that. And in the process of me reading it to him, he ended up snatching me across the car and kissing me. And it was just like light bulbs and flashes, like, you know, because this is my first boyfriend. I had never, you know, been in a relationship like that. Or this is the first guy I had ever really dated, you know, and I had never been in a situation like that. You know, I didn't do a whole lot of dating stuff or whatever. I always felt really awkward when I was younger. I never really felt a part of the circle like that. But we'll get into that stuff later on. So we kissed, and then we ended up kissing at every red light on the way home, on the way to him taking me home. And it was just really sweet, really adorable, really great guy. But he had a lot of baggage. And he knew he had a lot of baggage. And he was, in all honesty, very upfront with me and told me he had a lot of baggage. Basically, he was 28 and he had just lost his virginity to this guy. I guess he moved to California on the whim of, you know, new adventures, new tales. You know, he had been in some relationships, but none of them, I guess, had really went all that deep enough for him to, you know, give up this part of himself. So when he came to California, I guess he decided to try something different and just, you know, let go and really give himself up and give it to God. So he got to California, met this guy. They were in a relationship. He gave him his virginity and the guy just dipped on it. Like, dipped hardcore on it. Broke his heart. So by the time he got to me, he was really, like, cold and kind of distant. Like, really sweet in the beginning, but told me, like, flat out, like, he had a lot of issues and that he was likely going to be a bit cold for quite a while. You know, and me being the young poppy doe-eyed boy I was, thinking, you know, of course I can save him. Of course I can change him. Of course, you know, he's going to love me and I'm a good guy and I have enough love for the both of us, you know, and I can change your heart and, you know, I can melt your heart, you know, and you can heal mine and we're going to be okay. So it was very much so not that. It was a situation where me and Jay had some really good times, and I think had things been different and had he maybe not have gone through what he went through, maybe he could have appreciated my love a little bit more and maybe I could have appreciated his situation a little bit more. But we were just both far too motherfucking insecure to be in a relationship with each other, and it ended very poorly. To the point to where I've never spoken to him again. Like, since the day we broke up, like, that was literally, like, the last time we spoke. And I broke up with him through an email, which was pretty cowardly, looking back on it. Like, I didn't even give him a face-to-face because I just couldn't face him. And it was like, we tried to get back together or whatever. Well, not we, but I was trying to get back with him for a minute or whatever, but... I guess I really had just sealed the nail in the coffin with that, with the email and stuff or whatever. So it took me a really long time to get over that. A really, really long time to get over that. And my heart hurt really bad for like a year. And my friends really wanted to hurt that boy so bad. And I was just like, no. Because I think in my head, I knew at the time, like, I was angry, but I knew it wasn't just his fault. And I knew it wasn't really in the ultimate his fault. He was just really hurt and really hard. You know, his spirit was really fucked. And I didn't even realize how much damage was on my own spirit at the time. So, I went to a really dark place with that one. And I actually ended up in a pretty dark place. I'll just leave it at that. With that, I'll reveal more to y'all later because I kind of try to be an open book. But yeah, I went to a dark place with that one because I was just stressed at that point. And I was like, why can't anybody love me? You know, why can't I find love the way I want to find love? Why does it have to keep being these fucked up ass situations? You know, like, I'm a good person, I'm a good guy. You know, why is this not happening for me? So, I'll cut to my next boyfriend, who I met around the age of 23. So I was 23, he was 19, in some situation, the roles were reversed. He was at the time, he approached me online and he was in a relationship, a pretty bad relationship that, I guess had its really good moments, but they were just in a really bad place. And he hit me up online on this site called Bigger City, and I'll call him Ame. And Ame and I, you know, when I first met him, like, he was such a sweet, sweet, gentle person. Like, totally the, not the total opposite of my first boyfriend, because I don't want to, you know, diss him like that, but he really was, like, the opposite of that. Like, everything that Jay wasn't, Ame was. Like, he was able to give me the things that I needed. Even though he was still kind of, like, on the edges of ending his relationship that he had, he was currently in, I was able to get from him what I needed, like that attention, that affection, that love I felt like I wanted. And we developed a friendship online. Like, we would video chat and talk and whatever. He lived in San Francisco, I lived in San Diego. And so eventually, over the months of us talking and whatever else it is, him and his boyfriend had broken up. They decided to stay together and be roommates for a while. Then he ended up on real stuff. Like, the guy just did him real fucking dirty. Like, the guy was like 33. Ame was like 19. The dude, and Ame's from Rome, Italy. And the dude was like threatening to like have him, you know, kicked out of the country, and was like outing him, trying to threaten him to out him to his parents. He owed him all this money. And I was like, dude, you're just fucking grimy. You're a slime ball. Like, you got this young boy out here, and you just suckering his ass up. Like, you got him out here. He came out here for school and to be with you, and you just fucking this boy over at every fucking opportunity and every chance you get. Like, you slime bucket ass motherfucker. So, like, it was crazy because sometimes dude would like come like on the video chat with us. Like, he would wave at me, I wave at him or whatever, but that was before I knew the type of motherfucker that he was. So it got pretty bad, and Ame ended up moving in with roommates. So during that time, we decided that he was gonna come down and come visit me. So we came down to San Diego for like a week and a half, and we just fell in love. It was just magic, like, just lit my soul up. I mean, this man, I had a toothache one time, he was like, you know, I'll give you $500 so you can get your teeth fixed. And I was like, no, I've always been very prideful with men, like, no, I don't want you to pay for shit. Like, I got this. Like, I'm okay. I was working like 2 or 3 jobs at the time. I was like, I got this. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And he was just like, baby, just let me help you. And I was just like, I was so closed off. I guess, like, I still wasn't over a lot of that shit that had happened with Jay. And I was so insecure and so closed off and so, I had such a wall up because I didn't want to be hurt. And, you know, and it was a testy situation because he was still in a situation with his ex as well, because he was still trying to be friends with him. And I was like, yo, do you not understand that this dude is just not good for you? Like, he does not mean you well. Like, when are you going to understand this dude just does not mean you well? Like, are you going to keep letting him intervene in what we have going on? You know what I'm saying? Behind you trying to help him because he's going through whatever it is he's going through. Like, you can't be my boyfriend and be trying to help him and be his friend, because he's just not good for you. I just don't see it, you know? So he came down, I would go up. Like, I went up, you know, we made love for 2 weeks solid. When I tell you, I made love with this man on every surface in my house, he made love to me on every surface in his house. It was just amazing. Went out to dinners, he met all my friends, we just hit it, you know. At the same time, I had just started doing my music stuff, like, and it was just picking up. And this guy had seen one of my remixes, had heard my song online, my single, did a remix of it, and it was doing real well. This tells you how old it was. This was like MySpace days, like when MySpace had their charts and stuff. Like, we were charting real well. Like, we had beat Gwen Stefani out on some charts for some stuff. I was like, oh fuck yeah, we really about to do this. So he sent me the contracts. I had my manager at the time, which was a friend of mine, helped me go over the contracts. I signed the contracts, had a financial backer come in, because the dude was like, come to New York, we'll do an album, you know, we'll take 2 weeks out, we'll do an album, come out here, we're gonna get it popping, I'm gonna, you know, take you to the limelight, I'm gonna take you to the tunnel, we're gonna go out to all these bars and these clubs, I'm gonna introduce you to all these people, I'm real big on the club kiss circuit. I was like, cool, you know, I'm still doing dance music at this time. I really didn't want to do dance music because I was really into rapping, and I was like, you know, I really don't want to fuck with it. And the reason why I tell this part of the story is because this is what ended up being the deal breaker in our relationship. So at the same time, we were trying to build a thing where I was supposed to be going to San Francisco to transition to move up there with him, you know. And I was working like two or three jobs, trying to get it together, trying to keep it together, whatever, so I could save to move up there with him. And it was like summertime. This was like right before June. And it was my turn to go up and go see him. And we had a conversation on the phone, and I was just like, you know, I really want to go to New York to make this happen, you know, and I'm really hoping that you won't stand in my way on this. And I really don't want to have to choose between you or New York. Can I please just like see you later on in the summer and go out and take this opportunity to go do this? I was like, because babe, if I don't go do this now, I don't know when the next time it is that I'm gonna be able to do something like this. And so it just didn't hit him well. And I just, at the time, y'all, I was like, I love you, but I need to take this opportunity, you know? And we really needed to see each other. And I understand now why he really felt the way he felt, because we really needed to see each other, because we were really arguing heavily about, you know, him and this friendship he was hell-bent on with his ex-boyfriend. And so we really kind of needed that couple's time to repair and to fix and whatever else it is. But I was just like, you know, I still love you, and I'm gonna still love you when I get back, but I need you to leave this motherfucker alone, you know? So I ended up going to New York, and by the time I got back, I can't even remember how we ended it, but I know I ended up telling him, like, I don't know if I told him I didn't want to be with him no more or whatever else it was. And then by the time I realized I had made a mistake and went back to try and patch it up with him, he just was like, not having it. And I also think it was a cultural thing that he didn't understand. Like, it was like, when I yell and whatever else it is, I'm being passionate about how I feel. And where he's from, I just don't think that they really got down like that. So I think it kind of scared a portion of him. And he was like, nah, it's not even worth it for me. I don't want to fuck with you and whatever else it is. So we chopped it off and we didn't talk for a long time. And then on my 30th birthday, I think it was. So this is like 4 years ago. Not my 30th birthday, on my 28th birthday, I was living in Texas, and I went on this trip to where I went to San Diego, LA, and San Francisco. And I think I ended up having to skip LA, but I went to San Francisco, and I went and spent a week with my then mentor, and a guy I used to call, like, dad. And I ended up going up there and spending the week with him, or the weekend with him, and I was able to see Ame. And it was just like old times. I was just like, God, I love you so much, boy. Like, we ended up like going out with my friends for coffee, and we went and had some dinner, walked around. We ended up going, and then we ended up like going and hanging out some different places. And my mentor then went to the bar ahead of us, because I was taking a bit of time getting ready. And I, you know, he came with me back to, Ame came with me back to his house. And he was like eating and stuff or whatever. Like, I made sure he had some food or whatever, because he had made me this big old birthday meal. And I used the bathroom and took a shower and stuff or whatever. And then I was like, I gotta get him. So I like went to the door in my little jock strap, and he was like, God damn, we just went for it. And it was pretty hot. Like, you know, we had sex or whatever, and then we ended up going to the bar and dancing all night and stuff or whatever, and he went home. And that was the last time I saw him. Like, and I had told him earlier on the bus that day, we had a good conversation, because I told him, I was like, you know, I never meant to hurt you. I didn't really want to hurt you, and I never meant to scare you or anything like that, and I really apologize. And, you know, I really do love you, you know. And it was a really good time. I think it was a really good closure. We needed that closure. And that was the last time we saw each other. We're friends on Facebook now. We don't really have very many conversations. I tried to hit him up about me and him and his current boyfriend hanging out when I go out to San Francisco or whatever, but he never really replied, so I didn't really get what that meant. But we haven't unfriended each other, so I'm guessing we're somewhat okay. But yeah, so that situation was what it was. And I didn't realize how many of these stories I have. I may have to carry this over to another episode and then release that next week, because the last episode, the last guy I really want to talk about and go through, you know, that situation too, but I kind of feel like it's going to take its own segment, because that was a really crazy ass situation. But for now, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. And thank you guys for, you know, listening and coming in with me and talking with me. And then we'll pick it up again next week with Mistresses Part 2. And I'll tell that story. And then we'll probably have like a half and half episode, because that's really the last story that I have in that genre. And then we will go from there on to a new topic. But thank you guys so much for joining me this evening. I really, really appreciate it, for all you guys listening out there. And I really hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm going to close it out on a musical note. And I love you guys. And like I said, once again, my name is Jeff Iske. I'm your host for Jeff and a Drink. Every week, tune in and I will have a different drink, and you have a drink alongside you as well. And like I said, whatever else you need, light your blunt up, spark your blunt up, whatever else it is, and let's discuss and let's chat and exchange some juicy gossip and this and that. I'm also planning on having some different co-hosts on the shows and some different people come on. I also love the feature to where other people can connect with me, and you guys can also connect with me and leave me like voice messages that I can play during the show, of what you think of maybe the last show, or what you think of tonight's topic, or the next topic in the next week. I think you can do it like live. Also, friends of mine are able to join me out there. Also, if any of you guys want to join me out there on the show, you're able to join me out on the show as well, live, as long as we're friends on Facebook. We're able to join in, and we can all sit and discuss and chat and share stories and stuff like that or whatever. So as I said, Anchor is a really cool app. I love you guys for making this app, because I think this is a really cool program to be able to release podcasts and stuff on. This is going to be available on Google Play, in the Apple Store, and I think a few other stores. It's available pretty much on all the online platforms that have podcasts. And you guys will be able to pick the show up and listen to it. And I'm going to make it public for you guys to be able to pick it up and listen to it for free. So that you guys will have it and be able to, you know, download it and listen to it throughout your day. So enjoy, and whatever time of day this hits you, you enjoy, and keep hope alive. And I love you guys, and thank you for tuning in to Jeff and a Drink. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Once again, this was Mistresses Part 1. Enjoy out there in Radio Land. And you guys have a blast. And until next time, peace out. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave out of here on a musical note. Once again, thank you for tuning into the show. This is Jeff and a Drink, and we will be back next week for another episode, Mistresses Part 2, and then slash whatever other topic I want to discuss, which I will make sure to let you guys know ahead of time, or will at least have posted when it's time to post. So can't make no promises on that one. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and end on a musical note. I'm just going to surprise you on this one, because I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to play just yet. But thank you guys once again for tuning in. I really, 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 really do appreciate it. And I love you all. This is Jeff Iske, your host for the evening. Good night and farewell.